on a very wonderful occasion of Saint Valentine's Day, and you all have taken your special time out and come here to attend this program. So I'm very grateful to all of you. I'm sure you could have been anywhere else other than here, and I'm sure the drama which was presented was really hitting the nail on the head. It's exactly what we see, you know, what Valentine's Day is like in colleges today. So we just wanted to show you. I'm sure Valentine's Day today is being celebrated all over the world, not just India. Of course, this festival originated in the West. In fact, there's a big history behind Valentine's Day. All of you are aware of the history of Valentine's Day? It's a very, very interesting history. I was researching and finding out about Valentine's Day, how it originated, and it has a very, very colorful story behind it, a very, very intriguing story, how it all began. And you all will be surprised to know that Valentine, as we know today, was actually a priest. And his name was Valentine. He was a priest in 270 AD. This is very, very long, 270 AD BC. At that time, Rome was ruled by a king called Claudius II. And he was known to be, the legend says that he was actually a maniac. He was completely ruthless and cruel. And the only goal of his life was to attack and fight. That's all. He would go on long campaigns and take his soldiers into long bloody campaigns where, you know, he would just be killing. And fed up of these campaigns, all his soldiers started backing out. You know, they were tired of it. All these, you know, wars and campaigns and fights, they were sick of it. So this person, because of his twisted mindset, he thought that these soldiers don't want to come for war. Why? Because they have wives and girlfriends and in the city. So they are so attached to them, that's why they don't want to leave them and go for war with me. So he came with a crazy idea that we should ban all marriages in the country. And at that time, Romans hated the Christians. It was a religion just, Christianity was just coming up. And Valentine was a very wonderful priest, a father who was very, very pious, and he was a very good Christian. Everybody was scared of Claudius too. But this person, this priest, Valentine, he stood up against this ruthless Roman emperor, and he was the only one who continued conducting marriages. The priest conduct marriages, right? Because he believed that man and woman should come together in the sanctity of marriage, keeping Jesus, means God, in the center of their lives. So he wanted to actually, you know, encourage, you know, them to take to Christianity and, you know, lead a very pious life. So actually he was the only one who would still conduct the marriages underground, where everyone else was fearful of this emperor. And as usual, one day he was caught. And Claudius too put him in the dungeon. But he was so impressed by his courage, and he was so impressed by Valentine, that he called him to have a dialogue with him. He thought that I could convert him and force him to leave his faith in Christianity and make him a Roman, make him follow all the Roman rules and traditions. And so he called him to have a discussion with him. And he tried to convert him to Roman, to his religion, you know, to give up his Christian religion. But instead of following what he's saying, he had the guts to tell the emperor that he should become a Christian. He had the guts to tell the Roman emperor that you should follow Christianity and you should. He never gave up his faith, and he refused. He said, I will not give up my faith in God, whatever you may do. So he threatened him. He said, you just give up your faith. and I will leave you. Otherwise, you will have a very, very horrible death. He said, I don't care. Whatever you may do, I will not leave the faith that I have in God. And I feel that I have not done anything wrong by uniting, you know, by marrying people who are really sincere about taking to this path of God consciousness. And because of that, he was actually killed, executed in a very, very ruthless way on the same day, 14th of February. And of course, many years passed away, but after many years, when Christianity became very popular, this story of this Valentine, this priest, was recorded in a book called The Golden Legend, Legenda Aurea, this book. And the whole life history of this great saint was recorded in this. And seeing his wonderful quality, how even in the face of so much opposition, he actually wanted to spread this message of love, of God and faith in God. And he was bringing people together and marrying people just so that they could follow a life of, you know, God consciousness. So they actually gave him the position. They canonized him. They say canonization. They made him a saint. They called him Saint Valentine. And after many, many years, you know, in Europe, it came about that first started in Europe that this day started being celebrated because it is also in the month, in a spring. This is the beginning of spring. It is always said that beginning of spring is a season where all the bees and the birds, they unite and they mate. So it's a season of love. So this day, 14th February, started signifying the festival of love. So this is how the Valentine's Day, or it used to be Saint Valentine's Day, but today, as you see, as you saw in the drama, there's nothing saintly about it left. They've even removed saint out of the name. It's only Valentine's Day now. But actually, it started by a very, very wonderful person who was a very, very wonderful spiritual person at heart. He was a saint, Saint Valentine. But that is the situation we see in today's day and age, that every festival is, in India at least, I can name so many festivals. It started by, you know, festivals such as Ganesh Chaturthi or even Gokulashtami. They are festivals glorifying great personalities or great, you know, our gods. But as we see over the ages, the focus has completely shifted from the real goal. What are the festivals for? Like we see in Gokulashtami, when we celebrate Janmashtami here, the whole day we spend, you know, remembering the glories of the Lord, what wonderful activities were done by that personality, you know, that by the Lord. But you see, in the world, the people, they get great enjoyment by just making all these, you know, what are they called? Dahi handis, yeah. So it has lost the, basically the main goal of the festival is to actually glorify the person. But in India, unfortunately, what is happening is the festival is losing its real goal and people are just, the enjoying propensity is increasing. So that is what is happening even with this Saint Valentine's Day. Of course, this Valentine's Day actually signifies love. Love is a quality, or it is a feeling which each one of us is seeking in this world. Everything revolves in this world around love, isn't it? They say love makes the world go round. The whole industry today, the film industry or books, there are so many books and poems written around love. And that is the principle on which people are making so much money. In fact, even Valentine's Day, it's becoming a money-making business. You see today, there must be so many cards sold, so many roses must have been sold, so many gifts must, in fact, so many sites have come up, you know, to buy a Valentine's gift. So people are making so much money out of this. People are being forced or exploited into, you know, thinking that Valentine's Day means you have to buy a rose or a card or, you know, a box of chocolate. That's what people think, that unless we give this, you know, this is not, it's not that. But we see that what is love? If you really love somebody, in the earlier times, you know, the love would be expressed by something which you have made on your own. Something, a dish, you cook something and give, or you make a card with your own hands and give. This is real love, isn't it? But everything is becoming so commercialized. You just buy a card from outside, buy sweets, a box of chocolate from outside, and that's how you express your love. As we saw in the drama, he gave her one rose, she had 3-10 roses already, you know. It's like it's losing its real essence. Like here when we celebrate festivals in Janmashtami, when we offer anything to the Lord, each person cooks with their own hands. They cook themselves and then they offer it to the Lord. Otherwise it's so easy to buy anything from out and just give it. Then it loses the real meaning, the essence of love. But since time immemorial, love is a subject which intrigues everybody, especially the youth. You know. But we see so many stories which we hear over the ages. Epitome of love, Romeo, Juliet, and who else? Shiri Farhad, Heer Ranja, Laila Majnu. People who read Shakespeare, you know, people are so inspired by their life examples, you know. They are like the epitome of love. Why? Because they died. They died for love. And every film, you know, you see any movie ends with, and they lived happily ever after. And you feel, really, this is reality. But you think it's like that? And they lived happily ever after. It ever happens like this? But the point is, Valentine's Day signifies expressing our love. Giving our hearts. Usually on this day people give hearts also to each other. Red hearts. And it's true. Because I am really brought up in a culture when Valentine's Day was not being celebrated. Like 20 years back, when I was a teenager, I really didn't know what is Valentine's Day. But over last 10 years, I suppose, when MTV came, when McDonald's came, I think along with it, Valentine's Day has also come and it's become a rage now. But as we know the reality, this happy ever after is not a reality after all. It's not true. I think each one of you knows that. But in this world we see there are so many loving relationships. Each one of us must be definitely having so many wonderful loving relationships that we have formed. How are there different types of love? Now Valentine's Day does not mean just expressing a love to a man, I mean a boy or the opposite sex, isn't it? Love means there can be love between man and woman. Love between mother, a parent and a child. Love between siblings. Brother, sister or, you know, siblings. And love between friends. And love for country. We express our love in so many different ways, isn't it? So there are different types of love we see in this world. In this material world, we can express our love between man and woman. But what do we see today? What is the trend that we see? That marriages today are breaking up within 71% of marriages break up within 3 years. That is what the statistics say, you know. So that's really shocking. Though we have such wonderful high examples of loving relationships, but between man and woman, we see that as soon as you open the papers, you get a different picture altogether. For example, last year, a horrible news came of a person who was brutally murdered, Neeraj Grover, because he was having an affair with a woman. And because of that, he was killed. What kind of love is this? If you really love a person, can you harm that person in such a horrible way? Is that really love? Another news. I can just go on and on. A boy threw acid on the face just because he was refused. If you love somebody, would you harm somebody in such a way? Is that really love? Unfortunately, today's principle is, you scratch my back and I will scratch your back. I will scratch your back if you scratch my back. That, what is the meaning of this? Using one another is just exploitation. We see that relationship in between man and woman, or so-called love as they call today, is the reason, is the main cause of the most gruesome crimes today. They become the cause of the most gruesome crimes. You just have to open the paper and you'll realize. So this is the so-called love between man and woman today, we can say. Then we have the love between parents and children. In this material world, it is said that the highest and purest form of love, if you want to see, it is the love of a mother for the child. Don't you all feel? What can be there of exploitation? What can there be, you know, reason for exploitation? A mother does not want anything from the child. Mother just wants to give and give. There's a wonderful story about a man who was asked, you know, by his paramour or lover, whatever, that get me the heart of the mother. Something like this, the story goes. And he went and he actually got the heart of his mother. And when he was carrying it on the way, he just fell down and the heart fell down from his hand. And a voice came from the heart, "My dear son, are you hurt? Are you all right?" So this is the love of the mother, that even after the son kills the mother for just his sense gratification, still the mother does not turn away from the child. This is how the love of a parent is. And there's another story of Birbal. Once two mothers were fighting for one child. Each of them was claiming that this child is mine, and they both came to Birbal. And what did Birbal say? He ordered the child to be cut into half and one piece to be given to them, one mother, and so both of you will be satisfied. And immediately one mother started crying and said, no, give the child to him, her, I don't want. That means what? So immediately Birbal gave that child to that lady. Because he was convinced that only a mother's child, mother's heart cannot see any harm come to her child. So this is the nature of a mother. But what do we see in today's Indian culture? What is our Indian culture? Respect the elders. Protect the elders. Take care of our parents when they become old. This is Indian culture. The age-old joint system, joint family system, was designed in such a way that our elders are protected always. But slowly, slowly, the Western culture of old age homes are also coming here. Starting here, it was unheard of in India actually. Unheard of. But now they are springing up everywhere. Where is the love? I read this in a book once about Sudha Murthy, written by Sudha Murthy, that one man came with an old person to her office. You know, she runs a charitable organization. And he told her that I found him at the bus station, and I just picked him up and I brought him here so that you can grant him some, you know, money to take care of his health and take care of his medical bills. And he left him there and went away. And she admitted him in hospital and, you know, got his treatment done. And when he was dying, he called her and said that, when I die, just give this bag to that man who had come. There is all my savings in this money, in this bag. So he said, who was that? He told that he had found you in the bus station. He said, no, he is actually my son. And this is a real story. He is actually my son, but because he didn't want to take care of me, he left me with you so that my medical bills could be taken care of till the day I die, because he couldn't pay for my medical bills. And he's giving his savings back to this such kind of son. So we see that in today's day and age, even the love between parents and children is becoming so exploited. Love between siblings. This usually we see in wealthy families. The big families that we see in India, richest people, they are rich but their hearts are small. They fight for land, they fight for business, they fight for everything. I don't have to take the name, but this is how the love between brothers and sisters, how they are so superficial, just based on money and property. Love between friends. I'm sure in the youth, when we are young, for us friends are everything, isn't it? Our life revolves around friends and friendship. But I'm sure at least one person must be here who has had a bad experience with friends. Sometimes it does happen. At least with me I have experienced. You trust friends, but then back, you're stabbed by the back. So this is always very commonly seen. But where are those friends, you know, who are in the kindergarten class with you, in your nursery class? Where are they now? Do you know? Do you know everybody who's in nursery class with you? I'm sure nursery class nobody must be having contact. Till college, maybe, at the most, rarely school, friends you keep in touch. But nursery class, I don't think anyone would be keeping in touch with. It's very difficult. In today's age, the friends, they keep changing every day. What to speak of keeping long friendships. So love in this material world, friendship in this material world also is very temporary. And love for the country. Every time 26/11, something like 26/11 has to happen and then our patriotism comes up. Something horrible like this will happen, then immediately everybody becomes patriotic. Otherwise, where is the patriotism gone? Nobody even stands up when Janagana Mana is said nowadays. So, over the time we see that love in this material world is just very temporary. A wonderful story is there about a king. A saint comes, a saintly person comes and gives him a beautiful diamond, a beautiful priceless gem. And this king used to love his wife so much that he had actually written a poem glorifying their love. Saying, such a wonderful loving relation we have. So he actually composed a book on the greatness of love. And he gave that, and the saintly person told the king that give this gem to that person whom you love the most. So he gave that gem to his wife. And told her that I'm giving like something like Valentine only, He gave her that gift and said that you are my most dearest object of love. So I'm giving you this gem. And after many days, he was just sitting on his court, in his court. And suddenly a simple lady from his kingdom walked in and gave him that diamond, that gem. And he was shocked to see that. How is it possible? I gave this gem to my wife whom I loved the most. How it has come to me again from someone else? And then he realized that I loved my wife, but for him she loved someone else more than me. And that person loved someone else more than that person. So that's how the gem has been passed on and come to me. And then he composed another poem on this fickleness of this love. Just see the love of this material world. It's changing constantly. What kind of love is this? And he was so fed up and frustrated in life that he wrote another book, So this is a story of love in this material world. Nothing is permanent. Everything changes. Fashion changes. Love also changes. So this is how we see love in this material world. But still we are looking for love, isn't it? Each one of us here definitely is seeking for love. Just like we eat food for this body, to maintain this body, our hearts and souls are also needing this food. And what is the food of the soul? Love, pure love. That is the food for the soul. Only that can satisfy us. So that's why we keep seeking and seeking and searching and searching. We keep searching in all these relationships which I just mentioned, all these different examples. We keep searching in each and every relation that love which can satisfy us completely. Why? Have you ever asked this question? Why? Why are we so much seeking for love, but every time that we want love, we get frustrated. We get disappointed so many times in life, isn't it? The Shastras say that it is the nature of the soul. What is the nature of the soul? To love and to be loved. This is the quality of the soul. But today we see that each one is empty. The heart is empty. Definitely the whole world is facing the problem of starvation. There is so much shortage of food. But much, much, much more than that, shortage of food is the shortage of love. People are empty in their hearts. They're dried up. There is no love. It's not that just because you earn a lot of money or you are the richest person or the most popular person or the most attractive person, you are satisfied. This is a real life example which His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj told in one of his lectures which I heard. One day he was actually on the road trying to hitchhike, you know. He came all the way hitchhiking to India. So when he was hitchhiking in America, a huge BMW, a very costly car, stopped. And he was given a lift and he sat inside and he was shocked to see a very, very popular or very, very most famous Hollywood star. That was the car, you know, of a Hollywood star. And Maharaj just got into the car and sat next to him and he was like really surprised. And the person started speaking to him. And then after some time he looked at Maharaj's face and said, "You look so happy. You look so blissful. You know, I feel as if something is lacking in my life when I see you. What is it that you have which I don't have?" And then he told him, "I have money, I have power, I have all the women I want, everybody is after me. I can just enjoy anything at any moment, I can get anything. People are dying to love me, but still I don't feel satisfied. I'm so unhappy. My heart is so empty." So he realized that Maharaj had something which he doesn't have. And then Maharaj told him about spiritual, what path he is following. And then, you know, there was quite a, you know, he learned so many things from that. So we see that however popular or rich you may be, need not be that you are, still a person could be starving from inside. People are starving for love. But as we see that in this world, each person has to love and serve somebody. You cannot escape that, isn't it? You are a part of this, of your family. You love your family and serve your family, isn't it? You are a part of this country. You love and serve your country. You are part of this society. You love and serve the society. This is the eternal principle. Every part has to serve the whole. Isn't it? You agree? Similarly, we are part and parcel of God. This is given in Bhagavad Gita in the shloka, "Mamai Vamsho Jeeva Loke Jeeva Bhuta Sanatana." Where Krishna is saying, "Mamai Vamsho" means you are all my eternal fragmental parts.
and parcel. You are eternally my part and parcel. So when we are part of God, we are part of Krishna, then what is our role? A part has to serve the whole. Part has to love and serve the whole. That's how the logic goes. So we are eternally have a loving relationship with God. In this whole love, different types of love that we discuss, nobody ever thinks about love of God, love between us and God. Have you ever thought that? But in fact, that is our first relationship. As souls, as spirit souls, we are part and parcel of God, as the shloka, as the Lord Himself is saying, that you are eternally related to me. We have an eternally loving relationship with God. But unfortunately, we have forgotten that relationship. We have forgotten our relationship with God. We have a wonderful loving relationship with God, but we have forgotten that. So that love we are searching in this world. Just like you see a reflection in a, and you keep searching in the reflection. Suppose you have a nice wonderful tree, a mango tree, and the reflection of it falls on the lake, and you jump in the water searching for that mangoes which you can see in the reflection. Will you be able to ever find it? Because you are searching in the wrong place, isn't it? So our loving relationship is with God, but we are trying to find that love in this material world in through all these different relationships. But somehow, how much ever we try, we become frustrated. We are not able to ever find that. Why? Because that love which we are seeing in the reflection is just a perverted reflection of the real love. And what is that real love? Our relationship with God, our loving relationship with God. So we are constantly looking eternally for that love, and we keep becoming frustrated every moment by moment. Even though you may say that there are people who love each other so much till death, you know, they love. But ultimately, death also separates them, isn't it? The marriage vows, what do they say? Till death do us part, isn't it? Death will ultimately part you. So that will again lead to so much grief and pain, isn't it? So in this material world, how much ever you try to search to satisfy that need of love, you are going to get frustrated. But here, because everything has a beginning and an end. So let us understand what is material love and what is this spiritual love which we have now talking about, the relationship between the spirit soul and God. As we discussed in all the examples, one thing is common in this material love that we are having, all these relationships, that it has a beginning and it has an end. Isn't it? Every relationship in this world has a beginning and an end. Sometimes the end comes too soon. And it actually frustrates. And there is so many papers may you see, suicides and this and that, you know. All this, it leads to so much grief and pain. It has a beginning and an end. But the difference of spiritual love is that it has neither beginning nor an end. Why? Because our relationship with God is eternal. It is neither having a beginning nor end. Why? Because did you know that before this life, we have gone through almost 84 lakh species of life, different bodies, 84 different bodies, the soul. We have taken so many different bodies. And throughout that different, that long journey that we have gone through, there was only one person who was with us all along. And who is that person? The Lord, in the form of Paramatma, is present within our heart. You know, the heart is the region of the soul, where the soul actually resides. That's why in Valentine's Day, they give hearts. That means I am giving my soul to the beloved, means the one whom you love. So actually, the soul resides in the heart, and the Lord also resides in the heart in the form of Paramatma. Which friend of yours will continue to come with you for 84 lakh lifetimes? Is there anybody who will stick around with you? Whether you are in a cockroach body or a fish body or monkey body, and now this present body that you are in, beautiful young girls, he's still there with you in your heart in the form of Paramatma. So this is how our relationship with God is. He is the only one who sticks around with you the longest. But we forget him first. Second nature of this material world, love in this material world is what? That it is very temporary, flickering. It is becoming more flickering nowadays. More fast. It's very, very flickering. It's very temporary. Whereas spiritual love is eternal. Ends in frustration and disappointment. You agree? Many times it ends with frustration and disappointment. Material relationships. But relationships in the spiritual world results in eternal happiness. Spiritual bliss. Object of the love is material. Means person whom you love or the object on whom you shower your love in this material world is material. Whereas the object of love in the spiritual context, it is eternal. Just like we see that love can be only in, you can express in same species, isn't it? Like a dog will only like a female dog. You can't expect the dog to like a monkey or a monkey to like, you know, there can be loving relationship only among like species. Isn't it? You agree to that? So similarly, our relationship with God is also in the same species, I mean the same way, because we are also spirit soul, we are also spiritual by nature, and God is also spiritual by nature. So naturally, there is a natural loving attraction to God. That is our first relationship that we have. After that, we have so many other relations in this world. So spiritual love is eternal. But unfortunately, today, what's happening is, this love is being mixed up with lust. Or rather, lust is being passed off as love. People are getting mixed up because they don't know what is real love. Just now we discussed the qualities of real love or real spiritual love. But unfortunately, love and lust is becoming completely confused. Because you don't know what is real love, you take it, the perverted reflection of real love, which is lust, as real. But our acharyas say that the difference between love and lust is as much difference as iron and gold. I would like to read this small poem to explain what is real love and what is lust. The name of the poem is Love and Lust. Heart filled with material desire, burning like a blazing fire, caught within the worldly mire, that is lust, the devil's attire. Selfish and self-centered desire, pure love burnt on its pyre. What is this terrible lust, non-different from iron and rust? It is like iron and rust, as worthless as that. Love, on the other hand, O sire, is forever giving up desire for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. That is love, pure gold, not everyone can afford. Pure love is like gold. Everyone cannot afford it because you have to pay a price for it. Whereas, what is lust? Whatever you do for your own self. What do we see in this material relationship? If love is based on satisfying your own senses or satisfying your own desires, then that is called as lust. That is not love. Like we see so many examples. So if I cannot enjoy you, nobody else can enjoy you. That is the principle. Why a person throws acid? Because he wants to enjoy that person for himself. No one else should enjoy. This is lust. Whereas what is pure love? Pure love is when you give up your own sense gratification, give up your own desires for the pleasure of the beloved. That is pure love. So, love for the Lord is like gold, whereas lust is like iron. So, this is what is the meaning of love. But unfortunately, this spiritual world, this spiritual love, we don't have any experience of that. Because we don't have the knowledge about the spiritual world. We just know this material world where we are living. And we are trying, searching desperately for love in this material world. But what is that spiritual love which is coming from the spiritual world, which is so beautiful? We have no knowledge of it. But the Shastras describe the spiritual world in a wonderful descriptive way. There is a wonderful poem called Brahma Samhita, which explains the spiritual world in a beautiful way. You know what is spiritual world? I'll just tell some points from there. Spiritual world, the scriptures give us a wonderful description of the spiritual world. Spiritual world is full of love, where every word is a song and every step is a dance, where time is conspicuous by its absence, and where love is the only language. The spiritual world is a place where each and every living entity has a loving relationship only with God. And that is the spiritual world. And that love in the spiritual world was exhibited right here in this material world. In the form of Vrindavan. The spiritual world is also called as Goloka Vrindavan. And that same Goloka Vrindavan has descended in this material world, in this world as Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham, where the Lord Himself descended and engaged in so many wonderful pastimes and actually taught us what is real love by His example and by the example of His devotees. So there are wonderful examples of what is real love. But one example which stands out is the example of the Braj Gopis. The gopis of Vrajas who loved Lord Krishna, they gave by their own example what is the meaning of love. So one day Narad Muni asked Lord Krishna that who is your greatest devotee? Means who loves you the most? So Krishna told Narad Muni, I will prove it to you. And one day he actually got such a severe headache, he was crying and rolling in pain. He got such a severe headache. And Narad Muni came to him and asked, what can I do to relieve your headache? So Krishna told Narad Muni, just go and get the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees. Just ask them for the dust. As soon as they give me the dust and if you apply it on my head, my headache will be relieved. So Narad Muni was surprised, who will give the dust to put on the Lord's head, So he went to all the devotees, He went to Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and then Brahma and Mahesh, and then he went to the queens of Dwarka. And then he asked so many other people and everybody said the same thing, that if we give our dust to put on Lord Krishna's head, definitely we will be going to hell and be suffering in hell for this offense. So then after that he went to the Vraj Gopis and he asked them that the Lord is suffering so much, he has a severe headache and only the dust from your feet can relieve his headache. Immediately all of them sat down, started dusting their legs and started collecting all the dust from their legs, from their feet. And they just collected all the dust and gave it to Narad Muni in the hand. And Narad Muni said, you are not afraid that you will be suffering in hell for giving the dust to be put on the Lord's head? He's saying, we don't mind to suffer for lifetimes in hell, even if we could relieve his headache for one moment. For that one moment of relief of his headache, we are ready to suffer for lifetimes in hell. Without thinking, they did this. So this is real love. Where you are ready to serve the person without any desire for sense gratification, ready to do anything for serving the Lord. This is the example of real love. So we see that we are not in this platform. Of course, with this story, we understand that we are definitely not in that platform that we can develop so much love for the Lord, but we can make a beginning. We can at least try to follow in their footsteps. On this Valentine's Day, we can make a beginning of developing this relationship which we have forgotten all these years, all these lifetimes. We have so many loving relations we have formed in this world, I'm sure. But this loving relationship we have forgotten. And that is the original relationship which we had with Lord Krishna. So on this Valentine's Day, we should pray to offer our Lord, offer our hearts to the Lord as a Valentine gift to Him. On this Valentine's Day, we should make our hearts as soft and as pure as butter. You know Krishna loves butter. He loves butter so much that he is ready to steal the butter also. So we should just pray to the Lord that we can make our hearts as soft and pure as butter through the process of chanting and hearing, and make it as clean like butter, as pure as butter, so that the Lord is tempted to steal our hearts. So today on this Valentine's Day, we can pray to the Lord and offer our hearts and make it as pure as butter and offer it at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for His enjoyment. This is our Valentine's gift today to the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
We want to thank Sita Mataji for a wonderful enlightening class, starting right from the history, geography, science of Valentine's Day. She enlightened us on all the aspects of Valentine's Day. Thank you very much, Sita. And we'll take few questions, only three at the most, because there's another program here. Anybody has any questions? No questions? Or shy? You can write it on a sheet of paper and send if you want to. Convinced? Huh? Actually, we are really, really so happy that you all have come in such large numbers. Honestly speaking, we had kept the Chetna festival on today's day, but we thought all of you will be busy somewhere else. But we are glad, we feel very happy to know that still our culture is there in India, that some priority is being given to the right things, trying to understand what is right and what is wrong. So we really want to thank all of you.
They have come to celebrate Valentine's Day with Radha Gopinath.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. But as she mentioned in the lecture, all of us get frustrated at some point of life or the other because our Valentine ditches us. Our Valentine frustrates us. Our Valentine doesn't match up to our expectations. But if we honestly make a decision that enough of all these frustrations, in 84 lakh species I've gone through all of